Well, if you believe the message in song this morning, say amen.
Amen.
Thank God, that's the kind of God we serve. Amen. You know, you can cash in on His word. Now, thank God for that. Yes, thank God. You know that we can meet here this morning and be able to praise His holy name, for He's worthy to be praised. Again, we want to thank Sister Thomas for those inspiring. That inspiring song. I bring you greetings from the from your offices. They are the conference office, Elder Mike Colley, and of course our secretary Carmen Rodriguez, and our treasurer, our new treasurer. He hasn't been here long, but he's doing great work. And that is of course Dwayne Rollins. And again, I want to thank your pastor and brother Wilson. You know, this morning and. And your church here. I'm not a stranger here. I don't feel like a stranger. I've been here all the time, so I feel at home. You know, it's interesting as you visit from church to church. And we know we get a chance to go visit different churches. We get to visit at least 46 to 50 churches per year. Every Sabbath, we are a different church. By the way, the next if we were to come back here, it would probably take at least 3 or 4 years before we can get back here to your church. And but you know, we do get out, but wherever we go, we always meet friends, and it's God's family. You know, we feel at home. As I was just coming in, I saw some of the pizza family. You know, I know these folks way back. You know, they've been personal friends of mine. Andy, are you there? Andy, I remember the days when we years ago we worked in the, I was in the publishing work there in the Great New York, not great, I worked in Great New York, but there was an Illinois conference, and we were there doing canvassing work, and that's where we first met. And then I came here, and I met some of the rest of the clan. And we're glad that, to see many of you and others of you. I saw Bob West somewhere around here. Yeah, I just saw him a couple of days ago at the office. And I tell you, it's so good to see. I can go on and on, but I thank you for giving us this opportunity to come here. This morning, you know, I'm not by myself, and I thank God that, you know, because of our good companions. My wife is here, Myrta, and of course, you know, I tell you, she's been with me just a year and a half short of 50 years. How's that? You know, it won't be long before we'll be celebrating our 50th. Who would ever thought that, you know, we'd be here that long? So, you know, another year and a half, Bob. And the Lord has blessed us. I thank God for her and our family. And of course, see, next to her is my brother. You know, we are six brothers. I don't know if you knew that. I'm the oldest of the clan. You know, I have, I mentioned some time ago, I have, let's say it's Will, I forget sometimes their names. You know? But anyway, it's Hector, and then William, that's the one here, the third. And of course, we have Freddie, and then we have Louis. Louis is the evangelist. You know, Louis Torres, you know, he's all over the world. He calls me every now and then. He says, Gene, I'm here inside the plane. I'm heading down to Australia. That's what he did just a couple of days ago. But, you know, he's with a mission of School of Evangelism in Oregon. You know, he's trained over, who knows, you know, 400 leaders in the church today, including David Ashrick is one of his trophies, you know. And I thank God for what's been accomplished throughout the world. But anyway, Louis, it happens to be one of the youngest. And again, we have Rafi and Freddie. And again, I'm glad that Willie's able to be with us today. And again, we just want to encourage you here this morning to come out this afternoon. I don't know if it was announced here, but we in the Trust Services Department, you know, planned giving, Trust Services. That's how come we get to the churches every Sabbath. I mean, at least 46 to 50 a year. And what we do is we go to our churches and we let the folks know that we're there to service them with their estate planning. And, you know, estate planning is not just because you're going to die. You know, people think that, well, if I do a last will and testament, and some people are afraid, but you know, you don't have to be afraid because you're not going to die one day sooner. You see, Ellen White says that. In fact, there's a whole chapter there in the book, Counsels on Stewardship, you know, regarding estate planning. And she did her estate planning. But you know, it's important because we do not know what's in store for us in the future. And especially if you have, if you're a young family, you have little ones, you want to make sure that if something were to happen to you and your spouse, and it has happened. We had someone from the Clearwater Church, a professional couple, doctor, you know, they were on the way up north, and they were involved in an accident, and the two of them were killed in the accident, and the children survived. There were two children, you know, and guess what? He had not made any preparations, no estate planning. So what happens? The state has to now step in, and they will have to designate as to who's going to be the guardian, who's going to be the trustee, how, you know, who's going to benefit from the estate, and of course the cost that's involved. Well, anyway, if you want to know more about that, how we can assist you with the basic, which will be the last will and testament, a power attorney, healthcare surrogate, and living will, those four, you know, then at no cost to you, to members of the Florida Conference, at no cost, if you don't have anything, do the basic. We'll be glad to help you with the that planning this afternoon and give you some other information. That's the basic, but we have a lot of other programs that we can, that we are there to offer you at no cost. And if you were to step into an attorney's office, you know, they're going to charge you. And if they did their will, they're going to charge you, or even a living trust. But of course, a living trust you would have to, but the basic, you know, we just want to encourage you to come out at, I think it's at 5. Did you all know about about that today, the seminar at 5 p.m.? Okay, well, anyway, we're going to be here. We sent out the inserts, and we're just hoping that you would know. But anyway, we'll be here at 5, and we'll do the we'll be able to do the seminar and help you with any questions that you might have. And again, it's a great privilege to be able to be of assistance to you. Let us bow our heads for prayer. Loving Heavenly Father, again, we do pause to thank you for thy goodness to us. We thank you because we know that there's no one else that we can turn to. You are the one. You are our Creator, our Redeemer, our Savior. Father, this morning we pray that as we go into thy word, as we study those verses in scriptures, that, oh Father, we might be blessed. And as I speak, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. For Jesus' sake, amen. You know, just last November, our country went, had the elections, and of course, you know who President-elect Obama was voted to be our president. And I remember back in early, right immediately after the November election, well, you know, people were calling their congressmen and trying to get tickets to the inauguration. By the way, I was one of those. I wanted to be at that inauguration. You know, my wife and I had attended the first time Bill Clinton was elected, and we attended that election. And we didn't have tickets for that one. We had an invitation, but you know, we still couldn't see it at a distance. Couldn't see everything. But this time around, we did say that we said we're going to try to see if we can go. I wrote an email to Senator Bill Nelson, and he sent me back a reply. He said it was immediately after the election, early in, you know, right there at the beginning, and I received an email that says, well, you know, we only get 247 invitations, and I'm sorry, but we're not going to be able to help you. You know, we're not going to be able to issue an invitation to you. But anyway, we wanted to be there at this historic event. And but yet, you know, I had a friend of mine that did get an invitation, and he He traveled all the way up to Washington. And guess what? You know, I heard his comments later on radio. He has a radio program in the Orlando area. He was just disappointed that he had to take the metro rail, and he said he was late for the whole thing, and so he was disappointed. So I didn't feel too bad, because, you know, he said, he mentioned, the next time anyone gets elected, I'll just stay home and watch it at home. But anyway, that really, you know, gave me some comfort. But again, I was a little bit disappointed. But beloved, we can be disappointed about those things, and we can have our disappointments. But we know for sure the day is coming when we'll get a great invitation. And this will be about the greatest event of the universe, and that is when the King comes. Amen. At the coming of Jesus, and we won't have to have that invitation. Of course, the only invitation is that we need to be prepared. Amen. We need to do a preparation. And notice our scripture reading this morning was taken out of the book of Matthew, chapter 21, and we read verses 10 and 11. But I like for you to see the whole picture. Notice here, this is a triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Jesus had come all the way from Galilee, and he had come to be for this special event. It was the special event that was taking place. And notice in the verses 1 through 1 on, it says, "And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem, were come to Bethpage, unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two of his disciples." If you've ever been to that area, you know what that looks like. You know, it's the closest place here in the States that I found close that would look similar to that area is when I lived in New Mexico, out in that area. but again, here, he comes over to the Mount of Olives, and it's all rocky out there. And of course, this area has some trees. But he comes to there, and he sends out two of his disciples, and he tells them, "Go into the village over against you, and straight away you shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, the Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them." See, that was a commission to those two to go and to follow the Lord's instruction. It says, "All this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying over in Zechariah 9:9, it was a prophecy given in scriptures. And here the prophet, he says, tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek, and sitting upon an ass, and a colt the foal of an ass. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put them on their clothes, and they sent him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and straw them in the way." You know, it was a great, great day. Great day. They were looking for a king. They were looking for a liberator. They were looking for someone that was going to set them free from the bondage of the Romans government. But, you know, here he comes, and they were aware of this prophecy. So they were looking for the Messiah. And notice here, a great multitude, you know, were there. And it says, "And the multitudes that went before," it says, "and that followed cried, saying," what? "Saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of" who? "Of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, "Who is this? Who is he? Who is this?" See? "Who is this?" And the multitude said, "This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee." Who is this? Well, he was more than a prophet, amen? He was more than a prophet. He was a king. Notice here, they recognize him as a king. And I thank God, you know, he came as a humble man. He came, you know, over in Isaiah 53, he says that there was no beauty in him, you know, that would be desired. And he came, you see, but as a king. But you think that, you know, here as we read this chapter, we look at the triumphal entry. You say, well, you know, that's interesting, a triumphal entry. But then he goes to the cross. After that, he goes to the cross. And he's crucified. And he's buried. And then he's risen. Well, you know, we think about that and we say, well, you know, how could that have been triumphant? Well, that was the first time that Jesus, you know, he publicly acknowledged that he is the king. He is the Messiah. Interesting, you know, as you, those of you that have been to Jerusalem, I've been there several times, you go there and not far from the Mount of Olives, not far from this area, Gethsemane, was right not close to there, and not far from there, you know, you find there's a gate, of course there are 12 gates, but you know, there's a gate there, it's called the Golden Gate, Doors have been closed, you know, from way back. And right in front of that, the golden doors, the golden gate, you see a cemetery right there. And up until this day, today, they still bury people there. You see the Jews who still bury there. Because you see, they claim that when the king comes, the Messiah comes, he's going to go through those doors, you see. They think that he's going to come and they'll be the first ones that will be risen. Well, I got news for you. You don't have to be buried there. You don't have to have a plot there. To be able to see the king. Because you see, wherever you are, if you have chosen Jesus as your personal Savior, if you have followed him all the days of your life, beloved, you do have that hope that Sister Thomas spoke about, sung about this morning. Because he's coming again. Amen? And we shall see him. And we shall see him as he really is. Notice, right, the next chapter, Jesus gives a parable concerning the marriage of a king, of the king's son. And of course, he illustrates this in many ways. You know, the term virgins, you know, we find that there's also there a message for our church today, for me as an individual today. But notice here also the next chapter, notice it says that Jesus... He says, "And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables, and said, The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son, and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding. And they would," what? "They would not come." They would not come. "Again, he sent forth another other servant, saying, Tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. But they made light of it and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took to his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. And then he said to the servant, The wedding is ready. The wedding is ready." Right? The wedding is ready. Amen? Did you hear that? Yeah. The bridegroom is ready to come. Yeah. But, you see, it says, but, it says, "Which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage." So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all, as many as they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he said unto him, Friend, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. I'm reminded of that day when the Lord comes. At his second coming, when some will say, well, Lord, Lord, didn't I do such and such? We did this for you. We did that for you. And to some of those who would say, he would say, depart from me. I do not know you. See, we as Christians, we need to be able to live so that it's not the show, see. It is our relationship with the Lord Jesus that counts. We need to have a real commitment to Him. Interesting, not too long ago, I saw the Parade magazine of a few weeks back. It says that the Secret Service individuals, a man, they guard the president. They're willing to take a bullet for the president. Beloved, are you willing to take a bullet for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Are we willing to go the second mile? It's easy to come to church, and I thank God that we're in church, because God is here with us. The Spirit of God is with us, and He is leading us. And that's where we ought to be on a Sabbath day, amen? As it was Jesus' custom, I like to follow His custom, amen? But beloved, it's more, just more than that. We need to be committed, because we do not know the day or the hour. We need to be among those five wise virgins that were filled with the Spirit of God, with the oil. And we do need the oil. We need the oil. We need to be baptized by the Spirit of the Lord each day. We were baptized at one time, beloved. I remember when we were baptized back in a few years ago. But thank God that the Spirit of the Lord has still been with me. Because there's been in many occasions, I've fallen. You see, I've had my challenges, and I've fell on my face. But I thank God that the Spirit of God has always been there with me, and I thank God that the Spirit of God is still with us today, leading us as a church and as individuals, because the day is coming. The great day of the Lord is coming, and I believe that's going to be a glorious day. I remember years ago, in visiting Andy, some folks out there in Greater New York, because, we grew up in Greater New York, and I remember going to, a newly baptized Christian, filled with the Spirit of the Lord, with all the enthusiasm. Going out there, we wanted to tell the whole world that Jesus is coming there. And that was over 40 years ago. Well, beloved, it's closer today now than 40 years ago. We're closer than before. So, going out there, visiting the area, I remember visiting with an elderly man that was out there in front of his yard doing the watering his plants. And I remember he saw me going up and then coming back. On his side, and he said, well, what are you doing around here? Well, I said, well, I'm telling people that Jesus is coming. He said, that's not true. He said, I don't believe that. I said, well, you might not believe it, but I do, because I believe that the end of all things is at hand. And he challenged me. He said, well, look, young man, I'm much older than you. I'm in my 80s, and he said, I've heard that years ago, but that's hogwash. I said, it might be to you, but I still believe. Do you still believe? Shortly after that, after I had visited with that man, we had prayer there in the street, and I could see that he was choked up, and that was the last time I saw him. A few months later, I went by the same place. I saw the funeral director. There was a funeral home not far from there in the corner, and he said, well, I went around again, and he called me in. He said, I saw you visiting with so and so there, And they say, I was wondering what was going on because, you know, he didn't know what was going on. But anyway, I told him the story. And he said, you know, that man passed away about, you know, some, you know, a few weeks ago. And he said, but his life was transformed. And I'm looking forward to seeing that man at the coming of the King. Beloved, you never know. You never know who you might be meeting on the way. The King is coming. And we need to prepare the way. We need to be prepared ourselves first. Because we do not know the hour or the time, moment when he will come. Interesting, the book Great Controversy, page 428, Ellen White writes concerning this illustration. It says, chapter 22, it says, in the parable of Matthew 22, the same figure of the marriage is introduced, and the investigated judgment is clearly represented as taking place before the marriage. Previous to the wedding, the king comes in to see the guests, to see if all are attired in wedding garments, the spotless robe of character washed and made white in the blood of the Lamb. And then she goes on to say, when the work of investigation shall be ended, when the cases of those in all ages who have professed to be followers of Christ have been examined and decided, then and not till then, probation will close and the door of mercy will be shut. Thus, in the one short sentence, they that were ready went in with him to the marriage and the door was shut. We are carried down through the Savior's final ministration to the time when the great work for man's salvation shall be completed. Beloved, that time is at the door. And I thank God that God's door is still open. Amen? Because he says that I stand at the door and knock. All we need to do is we need to invite him to come in. Amen? That's a great invitation. I thank God that he has extended that to all of us and those out there that need to be prepared for the great coronation day. Yes, who is he? Who is he? Who is this? Was the question asked as the king was coming there in that triumphal entry. Who is this? Well, let's go to another chapter there in Psalm 24. Psalm 24, a very familiar psalm. And I believe that we need to take heed and know that and respond to this question in our hearts this morning. Notice here, Psalm 24, the psalmist wrote, it says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? Who? Who? Who shall stand? Notice it says, he that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul into vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. See, though that's the answer. He shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Notice who's writing this here. It's David. Who was David? Well, you know how David was. Yeah? Well, you know, he was a man after God's own heart. But, you know, before that, he had, and even afterwards, I'm sure he has his challenges. But, beloved, you know, so there, if there was hope for David, there's hope for us today. Amen? There's hope for each one of us. But notice here it says that that we need to take heed, that we need to continue to have that walk with the Lord. It says, this is the generation of them that seek him and seek thy face, O Jacob. It says, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors. And the King of glory shall come. Who is this King of glory? King of glory? Who is? Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and even lift them up, it says, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come. Again, who is this King of glory? Who is he? Who is this who says, who you know, that's coming and having his triumphal entry. Who is he? He says, the Lord of what? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Beloved, he is our King. He is our Savior. He is our Prince. Oh, beloved, he is. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the wonderful Counselor. Yes, he is the Prince of Peace. He's our eternal Father. He's our big brother. Amen? Yes, he is our big brother, our elder brother. Yes, who has loved us with an everlasting love. He is the one who made salvation possible. Amen? Because without him, you know, we wouldn't stand a chance. I thank God that Jesus is also a liberator. He came to set us free. And I thank God for that individual that was led to baptism some time ago. Here, Brother Wilson was telling me about his experience of Carmen. You know, this individual, this man who came, you know, accepted Christ. And beloved, he's now resting, looking forward to seeing the King of Glory come. Oh, beloved, I'm looking forward to that day. What about you? Yes, he is the King of Glory. Yes, he is the great I Am. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the last. Oh, yes, he is the one most lovely. He is the great Redeemer. You know, Ellen White then in the book Desire of Ages, you know, she again reports, gives us again some thoughts concerning this event. It says, reports have reached the rulers in Jerusalem, she says, that Jesus is approaching the city with a great concourse of people, but they have no welcome for the Son of God. In fear, they go out to meet him, hoping to disperse the throng. As the procession is about to descend to the Mount of Olives, it is intercepted by the rulers. They inquire the cause of the tumultuous rejoicing as they question, who is this? Who is this? The disciples, filled with the spirit of inspiration, answer this question in eloquent strains. They repeat the prophecies concerning the Christ. Adam will tell you, it is the seed of the woman that shall bruise the serpent's head. Ask Abraham, and he will tell you, it is the Melchizedek, the King of Salem, the King of Peace. Jacob will tell you, he is the Shiloh of the tribe of Judah. Isaiah will tell you, Emmanuel, Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Jeremiah will tell you, the Branch of David, the Lord, our righteousness. Daniel will tell you that he is the Messiah, the one that they're still hoping to see when he comes there out of the doors of the golden doors in Jerusalem. But beloved, we know that we do not have to experience going to Jerusalem. We need to experience being in the New Jerusalem. Amen. You know, we as we see the day approaching. Hosea will tell you, he is the Lord of hosts. The Lord is his memorial. John the Baptist will tell you, he is the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. The great Jehovah has proclaimed from his throne, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. We, his disciples, declare, this is Jesus, the Messiah, the Prince of Life, the Redeemer of the world, the Prince of the powers of darkness, acknowledges him, saying, I know thee that thou art the Holy One of God. Even the devil will someday will have to bow down, and all the evil hosts will bow down and recognize him as King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Oh, beloved, but we need to recognize him today. It is to come into our lives today. It needs to be enthroned in our hearts today. Yes. The great controversy there at the closing in the last chapter, it says, in the presence of the assembled inhabitants of the earth and heaven, the final coronation of the Son of God takes place. And now, invested with this, with supreme majesty and power, the King of Kings pronounces sentence upon the rebels against his government and executes justice upon those who have transgressed his law and oppressed his people. Says the prophet of God, I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Is your name written there in those pages white and fair? Oh, beloved, our name needs to be recorded there. Yes, not only in the church books, but it needs to be recorded in the Lamb's book of life. Amen? Yes, the King is coming. The bridegroom is coming for his church. We've been here too long. We have been here too long, beloved. How longer would it take? How long would it take? Well, we don't know when he would come. You know, his schedule is not our schedule, right? His time, he's got the right time. But beloved, because we do not know, this is why we must, by all means, allow him again to come into our lives and to remain there. Yes, we need to allow him to control our thoughts and our minds, and to have first preference in our lives. The celestial choir is heard singing the anthem of deliverance entitled The Song of Moses and the Song of the Lamb. The grand focus of his triumphant song is the King of the Saints. The King of the Saints. He is our King. Amen? He is our King. Yes, and to him we owe our allegiance. And with all due respect to all these kings and presidents here in our nation, beloved, we need to be good citizens. But beloved, we need to be better citizens for our citizenship in heaven, because that's where it will count. But we must start here in order to be there. We need to start here. Yes, the beautiful King is coming. Yes, Isaiah says, your eyes will see the King in his beauty and view a land that stretches afar. Again, in heavenly places, I read this thought. He says, how much more joyous it will be to see King Jesus face. We often sing face to face with Christ my Savior. Face to face, what will it be? Oh, beloved, what a day that will be when our friend Jesus we shall see. Yes. After all, that's what heaven is all about. Seeing our Savior, King, in all his glory and beauty. By his divine grace, one day soon, all eyes will see the King in his beauty and view a land that stretches afar. Thank God for that promise. Beloved, that's where we need to focus our eyes on the coming of the Lord, for the King is coming. Yes, beloved, we talk so much about here the economy, about the bailouts, but beloved, you know that we cannot put our confidence in all these bailouts. We need to put it in Jesus. Our trust needs to be in the Lord. You know, we heard about a change coming, and a change needs to come. But beloved, as Christians, we need to have a change of heart. David says, create in me a new heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. O beloved, I do not take the joy. O beloved, we need to pray earnestly. We need to be on our knees and have the Lord control our lives and our mouth and the way we think. You know, we look good, you know, when we're in church. But how is it in your home? How is it in your home? With your spouse? With your children? At work, you know, with fellow workers? How is it? How is it? Yes, we need to have a change of heart. We need to acclaim the promises of God. We need to continue to have our trust and our all in Him who made everything possible for us. Yes, who is He? Who is He? Yeah, what has He meant to you? Yeah, what is He doing for me now? Beloved, I thank God that He's my intercessor now. Yes, He's the one there as my advocate. Yes, I fall every day. I have my problems. But beloved, I need to focus my eyes on Jesus as the author and finisher of my faith, of my life. There's no other one that I need to turn to. Yes, and at last, when the King does come, and He will come, beloved, then we shall be able to say, Lord, this is our God. We have waited for Him, and He will save us. Oh, beloved, we need to be there. You know, I have a reason to be there. What about you? You know, some time ago, I mentioned our personal story of losing a daughter in an accident. Well, it's been about 12 years, over 12 years now. She's buried there in Claremont. Yeah, shortly after that, lost my mom. She's right next to our daughter, buried right there in a grave, cold grave there in Claremont. And I have a list of individuals that have gone before us, and all through the ages. What a day that would be. Can you go back? I mean, can you see? We cannot imagine. But throughout, from the beginning, from the first time that man sinned, and God had a plan. Because God loves us so much that He gave His only Son to redeem us. And beloved, you know, that's what else can we do? But just to humble ourselves before the Lord and to crown Him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You know, our crowns are to be deposited at His feet, because it is because of Him that we have this great hope of the resurrection morning. And if He comes in our time, we shall be transformed in a twinkling of an eye. But beloved, let's walk the walk and not just talk the talk. Let's move on unto that day where we'll hear the Lord saying, come, come, you blessed of my Father. Inherit the kingdom that's been prepared for you from the foundations of the world. What a great invitation that would be. Wow. We don't need an invitation to the White House. We need an invitation to the New Jerusalem. Amen? That's what counts. So, beloved, let us be faithful. Amen? Let's be faithful until then. Until then, and let's continue to praise the name of He who came, who died, who resurrected, and who will come to take us home. Let us pray. Loving Heavenly Father, again we praise Your name and we thank You for giving us that blessed assurance that we shall see the King. Oh Father, open our eyes. Father, we pray that You will anoint our eyes with eyesight so that we might be able to see. Oh Father, we're living in a time when it seems as though time will continue on as our fathers went to sleep. But, oh, Father, that is not the case according to Your word. We trust Your word. We believe in Your word. We have confidence in Your word. And, oh, Father, we pray that You will increase our faith and You will help us to see and to move by faith and to look until the time when we shall see. Oh, Father, we pray that You'll be with each and every family here this morning. Be with this church. Be with their loved ones, wherever they are, our friends, some who are here this morning. Oh, Father, we pray that You'll be with Your church around the globe. And, oh, Father, may we be able to be like those wise virgins that when the hour comes, we'll be ready. So bless us, we pray, because we have come and we have asked these blessings in the name of Jesus, our soon coming King. Thank you for him. And oh Father, may he come into our hearts even now and stay with us now and forevermore. For Jesus' sake, amen.